Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Wow. What a great morning. What a great God. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Again, so grateful that you are here this morning, and we're going to be walking and continuing to walk through the letter of 1 John. We're going to be in chapter 2, and we're going to be walking through verses 7 through 11 today. And, you know, as I was reading this passage and I was thinking about what I would share today, and, you know, I was thinking about us as a people. We're a people that love options, right? We like options. We live in a culture where options are everywhere. Like if you got coffee this morning, you probably had like an option to put some vanilla creamer in there. You probably had, you know, an option for some mocha or something like that along the way. You know, I think about, you know, Crabtree's coffee is kind of a second office for me. Meet a lot of people there, and a lot of our student groups meet there for discipleship. And when you're there, I mean, these guys got some flavors, right? There's options up there. You can have latte, you can have, you know, all these things, right? Well, if you're a man, what you want is medium dark roast, okay? I'm just helping you, right? This is what you order. It keeps people from judging you when you're there. So, but there's options, right? We like options. We love those kind of things. I can remember when I was growing up, there was a little jingle that I thought of, right? And some of you have heard it, right? Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders, they don't upset us, right? Because we're Burger King, right? And we want you to have it your way, right? That's kind of what we say. There's things like that. Now, after church today, some of you already have a plan, like where you're going to eat. So you're already kind of prepared for that. But some of you, you're going to look at your bride, and you're going to say, hey, baby, what do you want to eat today? And she's going to say, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. And you're going to say, some restaurant. And she's going to say, not that one. Because we like options, right? That's just who we are, right? We used to get that question when we were at the grocery store, paper or plastic? Now you have to ask yourself that, right, when you check out. But you should do that. Like, just look at your spouse or your kids or whatever, just ring it up and be like, would you like paper or plastic? Right? We should just do those kind of things because we like options. You know, when you get a car, there's a lot of options out there. You can have all kind of things on your car. You can have, you know, power windows. You can, you know, they kind of come standard now. I remember when I was growing up looking at cars, I mean, that was a luxury. It was one of those luxuries my dad said, you probably don't want that, son. It's just one more thing to break, right? Anybody too lazy to roll that window up needs talking to, right? But we like options. We like those things, you know. And as I'm reading this passage of scripture in 1 John, I believe John wants us to see that for the Christian, according to the word of God, love is not an option. I want to invite you to stand with me this morning in honor of the reading of the word of God. And we're going to be reading verses 7 through 11. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Verse 7 begins this way. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Pray with me. Holy God, we pray this morning, God, that the light, King Jesus, God, might be glorified in everything that we do. God, we pray in the power of your spirit, God, that you might open eyes of those who are walking in darkness. God, that they might be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your beloved Son. And Lord, we promise to give you praise. We ask you to take your word and accomplish what you have sent it forth to do. And we ask it in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated this morning.
You know, as we've walked through this series, there's been this thought of authenticity. It's a word that this letter points to constantly. And there's that question, how do I know that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ? How do I know that my salvation is real? How do I know those things? 1 John chapter number 5, verse 13 is kind of a key verse throughout this series. And we hear these words, right, as John writes to me. He says, these things I've written to you that you might know, right? To you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. And throughout this series, we've looked at a few things. One is do I believe in the authentic Jesus, right? The God of the Bible. And this letter starts out that way, right? Do we believe the right things about Jesus? Do we understand who he is and in his all of his glory and his true praise? Like when we see the majesty and the glory of Christ, we're never the same, right? His holiness, his greatness. And last week we talked about, do I obey the commands of Christ? Now, John's not wanting us to see these things and saying, well, okay, I obey so that I can earn something, so that I can have salvation. No, what he's saying is because of Christ in us, because of salvation. Now we obey. And the question today, the question that we must ask is, do I love others? Because the reality is, love is not an option. Fact is, as we look in Scripture, there's a lot of things that we can see that are characteristics and things that would describe believers, but the one thing that sets followers of Jesus Christ apart from the world is love. And it's not an option. It's standard issue for every believer in Jesus Christ. We had a lot of options yesterday. You could serve at Kaylee's Closet. You could build ramps. You could go to nursing homes. You could eat cookies. That really wasn't an option, but I did anyway, right? I've never saw so many cookies. I've never seen all those options, right? It was great. But here's the thing. Without love, the Scripture would tell us that none of those things mean anything. And when we read this part of this passage, it's interesting because it kind of feels contradictory at first. John's saying, hey, I've got this new commandment, but it's really an old commandment, but it's an old commandment, it's a new commandment. And you're like, well, which one is it? And we're going to see it's both, right? First, it's going to be super easy today. This is low-hanging. It's easy to preach, it's hard to live, okay? Yes. But here's what we see. Love is an old commandment. So if you're following along in the app, this is easy right here, right? Love is an old commandment. Verse 7, he says, beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Now, it's an old commandment, Deuteronomy 6:5. We know this verse, right? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Leviticus 19, we would read this, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now John says, hey, you've got this new commandment, but it's an old commandment. And he said, this old commandment you've heard from the beginning. So what does he mean by that, right? There's maybe a couple ways you could look at that. From the beginning, maybe he's pointing back to these passages in the Old Testament, or maybe he's pointing back to just this core reality that since you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've known since you were baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ that there's an expectation. And maybe you just recognize that part of the reason that you're following Jesus Christ is because you've been loved by the people of God and they've shared the good news of God and you have seen the love of God. And so there's this commandment that you've had since the beginning of your salvation. He says, this commandment, right? It's an old commandment. But the second thing, it's a new commandment. 1 John 2:8, he says, on the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him. This is key wording. We're going to look at this in him and in you because the darkness is passing away and the true light, capital L, notice that, true light is already shining. Now, when we see this passage, we've seen some things in the original language in 1 John, and it's really the most easy Greek to interpret in all the Scripture. It's kind of the low-hanging fruit for guys that aren't as smart along the way in some of those things. And so it's really easy, really straightforward. And what we see in this passage, this word new, it's a different word. There's a word for new, for time, But what we see in the Greek is this is the word kainos. So some of you have been to Honduras with us. And when we go to Honduras, there's a church there called Kainos Church. And that church, it's new, right? But it's not new in time. It's this new in respect to quality. This is what John is saying. He said, I'm giving you a kainos commandment. He said, I'm giving you a new commandment, and it's something fresh. It's something new, not in time, not new in time. You've had this since the beginning, but it's new in quality, and it's new in its essence, and it's this idea of this freshness, this newness that's there to it. So we see those verses in the Old Testament, but then Jesus gives this incredible picture. We see him. It's this moment of this Last Supper, and it's this moment where King Jesus, right, has girded himself with a towel, right? And he's knelt down and he has washed the feet of his disciples. He's washed the feet even of Judas, right? And Jesus would say, I want to lean in here in these final moments that I'm with you. And he would say, a new commandment I give you. And look at the wording. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, he gives the importance and the power of what we see when we flesh this out. He says, by this. And so as you look around at the family of God, he says, by this, the love that you have for one another, he said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So Jesus gives this new example. And then we see that we have a new enabler, right? Because what I want you to understand is what I'm going to ask you to do is impossible to do in your own strength. What Jesus is asking us to do is impossible to do on our own, right? But we have an example of Jesus, and we have an enabler in the power of the Holy Spirit, new in quality, new in authority in our lives. And he says, listen, this is what we see in this passage. He said, it's true in him. And what did it say? And in you. And so by the power of the Holy Spirit, right, we're enabled to do this. You become a Christian, and the Holy Spirit sets up residence inside you, right? And with Jesus on the inside, man, everything changes on the outside. And the fruit of the Spirit, right? The very first one. Galatians 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, right? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, right? It's not this picture of the love that we give towards God, but the love that God gives toward us is poured through us. Listen, it is dispensed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is dispensed by God. It is displayed in the life of believers, right? And we think about love. We use that word all kinds of ways. I was talking about those cookies yesterday. Lydia Horton, man, so grateful. Miss Lydia, if you're watching online, like she told me, she said, Jason, she said, we got a lot of cookies. And I got a picture of them. I'm not going to put it on the screen, but there's a lot of cookies, like the most cookies I've ever seen. More cookies than Ingles got. I'm talking about there were cookies everywhere yesterday that were made to be distributed. And she said, Jason, I know one thing. And so she said, I've got a tin of cookies, and I put it on your desk. And she said, I made these cookies, and they have Reese Pieces all in them. She said, I love you. She didn't say it out loud. It's love in action, right? That's the Reese Pieces, right? And she said, I know that you love Reese Pieces. I love them. And I love church. I love God. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love doing all kinds of things. And we use this word love in a lot of different ways. But this is a love that the original language gives some insight to. Right? In the Greek, there's different words for love. There's eros, which is this erotic love. There's this phileo, which is this love that's like this brotherly love. But this word is agape. And I like what David Allen says about it in this passage. He says that agape love is a love that is unselfish in nature, a love that gives and expects nothing in return. It's a love that says, I love you in spite of yourself. I love you anyway, regardless of the circumstances. It's a love that puts the needs of others, the needs of the other person before your own. That is the kind of love that God has for us and that we are to have for one another and the world. Now, we think about this love. We think about this love that we're called, this verb, right? This love that is displayed, not this love that describes how we feel, but this love that motivates how we act. This love that is an act of the will. This love that is incredible, right? And the only way that we can have love as a verb, which I hear people say love is a verb, and it is. It's action, love and action. That's kind of the heart of our faith family here. But I want you to understand that you can't express love as a verb until you know love as a noun, and his name is Jesus. And through a relationship with him, when we have experienced his grace, right, we love, and we're called to love others the way, this is where everything gets new, right? We're called to love others the way Jesus loves us. So it's an old commandment, it's a new commandment, and it's a revealing commandment. Look at verse 9. It tells some things about us. It tells about our relationship. It tells about our faith, right? It tells about our salvation. We said, the one who says he is in the light, so we can say, hey, I have a relationship with God. I'm following Jesus. He says, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. So one of the evidences that you can know that you're a genuine Christian is whether or not you have love for fellow believers. John's clear. He says you can't say that you are in the light and hate your brother. Now, we know in the Greek tense, this is present tense. So this is not a moment where we're angry or a moment where we have this. This is an ongoing pattern of behavior in the life of a person, right? This is a settled way of living. And there is no room. Understand clearly, there is no room for hate and love in the same heart at the same time. And he says, here's an evidence, right, that you know Jesus. In verse 10, he says, the one who loves his brother, so here's the inverse of it, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. Now, this could be understood in a couple ways. There's no cause for stumbling could mean, okay, we're walking in the light. So as a believer, if you're loving your brother and you're walking with Jesus, that you're walking in the light. I don't know if you are like me, but I get up early a lot of times and the rest of the world and my family is in bed and I don't want to turn on the light. And so I kind of know my way around, but every now and then I forget that I put something somewhere and all of a sudden I'm walking around and the next thing you know, like I stumble over it or I fall through the house. And so instead of the light coming on and waking up my wife, it's the big loud, you know, grunt and ow and whatever else that we run into. And so he says, if you're walking in the light, like there's no cause for stumbling. And then there's another way you could look at it. I don't know which one it is. I'm not sure. I kind of like to think it's what I just said, but there's another way to look at it that says if you're not walking in the light, if you're not walking and loving your brother, if you're walking in the darkness, then what you're doing, those that see you and those that are around you, you're giving them a reason to stumble. You're giving them a reason. And Jesus said, hey, that by this, the whole world will know that you're followers, that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. And so if we don't have that, by the same token, by the lack of that, the world's like, I don't know about this. Verse 11, he says, but the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness. So notice some words right here. He says he's in the darkness. So who he is impacts how he lives, right? He's in the darkness and he walks in the darkness. And here's the next thing. He says he don't know where he's going. So, you know, we think about our graduates next week, and it's my heart for you young people, so many of you. We love you guys. And listen, it's my heart. You know, we share verses like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Our hope is that you would trust in the Lord with all your heart and that you would not lean on your own understanding, and in every way you would acknowledge him and he will direct your path. He'll make your path straight. We say, listen, we want you to walk in that. Here's what he says. If you're walking in darkness, he says, you cannot know the will of God and you cannot walk in the ways of God. He says, you have no idea what God is speaking. He says, the darkness has blinded your eyes. You're walking aimlessly without direction. I read about a little boy who would walk to D.L. Moody's church, and as he would walk there, a man saw him walking by his church regularly. And so finally one Sunday, he says, hey, why do you walk so far and pass so many churches along the way? And the boy answered, and he said, well, you see, sir, he said, I just have a way of loving a fellow over there. People are looking for authentic followers of Jesus Christ who are loving so different from this world that it stands out, right? And there's this core truth There's this core message that John's giving us. And he's saying to this, the mark that sets you apart from the world, right? That demonstrates that you are an authentic follower of Jesus, that you're part of God's family, is not the t-shirt you're wearing. It's not the cross necklace that you have. It's not how dressed up you are when you come to church. It's not a baptism certificate or a baptism t-shirt, even though it says not ashamed, right? It's not a seminary degree. The measure of my walk with Christ, listen, it is my love for Jesus that is being displayed in love for one another. It's none of those things, right? It is love, right? And some of us, we can get so into so many different things. We can love theology more than we can love Jesus. We're going to talk about next week when he is in his right place, right? And we should love all those things. But ultimately, the display that we have, right, as followers of Jesus Christ is love. And for the believer, hear me clearly, John would desire us to know that for the believer, love is not an option. And it is by this, that you know you have a relationship with him and not you only. It is by this that the world also knows too. Verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is the core of how the gospel message is seen, but this unusual, peculiar love that is only possible in Jesus Christ. Now, it's not, we understand this is simple. There's a lot of stuff that's simple. It's not easy. Right, you can go to the gym and you can work out and you can build muscles. It's simple. That's how it works. You go every day, you work out, you're consistent, you're going to build muscles, right? You're going to do it. It's simple, but it ain't easy, right? We see this kind of thing. It's simple, but it can be hard to love. I can be hard to love, right? And don't look at your neighbor and say, you can be hard to love. Don't do it. But you know, right? There's people that can be hard to love. You know somebody that drives you crazy. You know people that you work with. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get aggravated. And listen, we understand that our job and our role, like our love, is to look like Jesus' love. It's to look like Jesus' love. When we get in chapter 3, we're going to spend some time here. But Jesus loved with grace and truth. Jesus never compromised his truth in order to love. We see Jesus love people where they were at, but he loved people too much to leave them there. We see Jesus didn't condone sin. He confronted sin, but he engaged in love. And listen, we are called to walk in that. We're to love like Jesus. We're gonna look at that more along the way, right? But why do we love? Why do we love? I'm gonna answer just three questions. Y'all hang with me. Why do we love? We love. Chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Who do we love? Y'all lean in here. Don't miss this, okay? This is where it gets important. It's all important, but this is so important in the way we flesh this out, right? This is the application. Who do we love? Right, we love one another. That's the clear call in this passage. But we are also called to love the least of these and the worst of these, right? So we love, we see that people have this natural question, who do we love? Who's our neighbor? That's kind of a question that's asked. Who's God placed around you? Who's God got in your life? Right? The first and foremost place is maybe your spouse. Right? How does it look like in your closest neighbor? In the way that you love, I wish we had time to read all of 1 Corinthians 13 and just these descriptions of love, this picture of what it looks like to love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Right? Can your spouse say that about you? Can my wife say Jason is patient? Right? Just replace yourself in that passage. Jason is patient. Jason is kind. He's not self-serving. Listen, you can fill those in. I encourage you to do that. We're called to love one another. We're called to love our neighbor. We're called to love the least of these. In Matthew 25, we see this incredible passage of scripture. Matthew 24 points to all these things about the end, how we know the end is near, what we see, what will be the signs of the end, what will be all those things. And then Matthew 24 is all about that. Man, there's so much in there. And like the disciples, I kind of read that and there's a little bit of that that I'm like, okay, I kind of get some of that, but I'm a little confused. Like, what do I do? What does all this mean? How do I live? What do we do? And then Jesus gives these parables, right? And he says, listen, be ready. Gives the parable of the virgins. He says, hey, be ready. Know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, the parable of talents. He said, I've given you things and you're to use it all for the glory of God. You're to take those things and not bury them, but to use them for the kingdom. And then he says this sheep and goats. And he says this in verse 35 to 40. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in naked and you clothed me, sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer them and say, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Listen, he calls us to love the least of these. Who are the least of these in our community? Who are the least of these that are around you? Who are the least? We've been asking our question, like God puts a church in a place for the good of the city. We're not here just to for our own, simply for our own growth and to build some kind of kingdom for ourselves. Listen, we're here to further the kingdom of God and for the good of those around us. And we've been asking that question, and we listed some things. We listed the Macon County Detention Center. And on Tuesdays, I thank God for a church that has a jail ministry in the jail. And by the way, this morning, for the first Sunday, there are TVs throughout our jail. And there are men that want, whoever wants to be, man, they're tuned in right now. And I just want to say, man, you're not forgotten. We love you. God loves you. He has grace and mercy. We said, what does it look like for foster and adoption? You know, I shared this morning, this is Foster Care Awareness Month. And this morning, Baptist Children's Homes is here with this Every Child initiative and the things that are there. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit convicts some of our hearts to say, you know what, we're called to love the least of these. There may be some of you with rooms in your homes. There may be some of you that God is stirring to support those who have opened their homes for fostering and adoption. And I would encourage you to connect with Pastor Chris to lean into that. We identified, we said, what about a fatherless community? We see this role of biblical manhood. And we said, what does it look like to engage there? We launched Trail Life this past year to really engage in boys and their dads and boys without dads. The homeless community. We partner through Making New Beginnings to impact their addiction and recovery. We listed out these lists. This is how God works. We listed out these things and we wrote down addiction and recovery. And I said, what do you want us to, how do we engage in this great need in our community? And shortly after I wrote this down, I got a call from the director of our teen challenge who had just recently moved into that executive director spot. And he said, listen, I've been praying and I was part of the board. And he said, I want to ask you if you'd be willing to serve on the board for men's challenge here in county. And I said, let me pray about it. But I knew when he asked me, I didn't need to, because God was already opening those doors, right? We're praying about a recovery group here. There's so many places we could go on and on, but we are called to love the least of these. And listen, every one of us is called to love the least of these. We're also called to love the worst of these. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes this clear, right? Matthew 5:44, he said, the world loves people that love them. He said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Right, Jesus calls us to love the least of these, to love the worst of these, to love our enemies, right? A pastor was preaching a message kind of like this, and he challenged his congregation. He said, listen, who in here would love your enemies? He said, I want you to give a show of hands, like I'm going to love my enemies even. The whole congregation's raising their hand, you know, and there's this one little lady. Thank you for raising your hand, but y'all don't have to do that right now, but like this is a... Like he said, I'll do that. Like they're raising, I'll love them. And there's this one little lady on the front row. She's not raising her hand for nothing, right? The preacher looks at her. He's like, ma'am? He says, oh, God's loved you. He said, why are you not willing to love your enemies? And the little lady looks at him and she says, I'm going to be just completely honest, pastor. She said, I ain't got no enemies. And the pastor said, oh, this is awesome. So he invites her up and he's like, how old are you? And she said, I'm 96. And he said, will you share with the congregation how at 96 years old, that you have no enemies? And she said, I'd be glad to. She said, I outlived all them scandals. She said, I did. Here's the thing, though. The goal is not to outlive them. The goal is to live forever with them. See, the goal is that we might display Jesus and that we might love in a way that is only made possible through the power of Christ in us. And so that's that final question, right? We talk about who we love, but how do we do it? How do we love See, love is produced, right? It's not manufactured. I've tried that. Like, I'm going to do good today. And I've tried, like, to pony up all this effort, right? Listen, love is produced out of an abiding relationship with Jesus. It is a fruit of the Spirit. You can't manufacture it. You can only manifest it. And it is a reflection of your relationship with Jesus. You must know him. His name is Jesus, the King of Kings. And when the love of Jesus is in you, the love of Jesus can flow through you. And so here's the thing. See, you can't love unless you are the beloved. That's who John's writing to. This is what matters. Faith expressed in action, this beautiful picture. And if you're struggling with that, I pray that today, if you're a believer in this room and you would say, you know what, I know that I have a relationship with Jesus and the pattern of my life is love, but I'm struggling. Like, there's a relationship that's strained. There's people that I hate. There's someone that I'm harboring anger to. There's a bitterness in me that I'm not able to get rid of. You may say, listen, there's this bitterness in me that I just can't get rid of. And you would look at me and you'd say, you have no idea what they've done. Who are you to tell me to get rid of this bitterness and to forgive and to do these things? Who are you to say that? You have no idea what they've done. And you are exactly right, but I do have an idea of what he has done for you. And he is the one who from the cross would say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We are called to love the worst of these. We are called to love the least of these, right? Is there a brother or sister that you need to make things right with? That you need to, first of all, make things right with a holy God, and then you need to make things right with others, right? That's a direct result. When we're right with God, we'll have a desire to be right with other people. Now, we can have moments of anger. We can have moments that we're straining in relationship. But the reality is that the Holy Spirit will convict your heart and call you to make things right. He will press in on you. So who are you called to reconcile? Who are you called to work in this relationship with? The worst of these, right? And what about the least of these? Some of you are called to engage. Maybe throughout this message, like the Holy Spirit has been stirring in your heart, right? That you're in call, you're being called to engage in fostering, right? That you may have the opportunity to be that family for a little boy or a little girl that has no permanent home, right? Maybe God has poured his love into you and you have the ability to give that to some child that has never experienced it. To make a difference in the life of a child that would impact their life today, but introduce them to a God who loves them, to see them adopted into the family of God. Listen, we are called to love like Jesus. I'm gonna pray for us, and we're gonna go into a time of response. And you know, I met with someone this morning and they'd come from a different tradition, and they just asked me, they said, what is that time at the end, right? What is this time where we sing and where we stand? What is it about? And I just want to tell you, this is a time we respond to the Word of God. We like to say we pray. And you can do that from where you're at. You can come, and if you would like someone to pray with you, Pastor Chris, Pastor Ronnie, myself will be available. Others would be glad to pray with you. If you have a need in your life, maybe if you just want to cry out to God for help, there's something, listen, you can do that from your seat, but there's something incredible just about the posture of our hearts being expressed in our bodies, where we might just kneel before a holy God and say, God, I'm dependent on you, Lord. I'm struggling in this area. I need your help. So we pray, we sing, we worship. So we want to give you an opportunity just to respond to what God is doing in your heart. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, but I believe that what Jesus did on that cross, it counted for me. That he died in my place. Last week we talked about this propitiation, right? That there was a payment that satisfied the wrath of God to us. That he who knew no sin became sin in our place. Jesus died a sinner's death in our place. And you would look and say, you know what Jesus did on that cross? I believe and trust in it. I'm resting my whole weight, my whole life in what he has done for me. You can be born again into the family of God. And the evidence of that, you begin to walk in obedience. You begin to love. You have a capacity that you've never had before. It may be that your next step is baptism. Listen, you come this morning. Maybe say, you know what, I want to go to the river. Listen, we're going to do that here in a few weeks. We've got two people that are desiring to go there. However God speaks to you this morning, our posture is repentance and faith. You know, we started out with this thing called options. I pulled into to Burger King this week to get my son a biscuit. And we pulled up to the window, and all of a sudden from the loudspeaker, he said, "Welcome to Burger King, where you rule." And that felt pretty good. I can have whatever I want there. But I want to tell you, if you're willing to surrender your life and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we'll look at you and say, "Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the kingdom of God where Jesus rules and we walk in obedience." Father, we pray, God, you might do a work in us, God, that would result in your love being displayed through us. Jesus, we love you. God, we ask this in the strong and mighty name of our King, King Jesus. Amen. You may stand with me this morning.